Jesus. He is here this morning. Hallelujah. Just reach out and receive whatever it is that you need. Healing for broken hearts. Praise God. He's there to touch and mend the physical heart, the spiritual heart, the soul. In Jesus' name, where there's been hurt, where there's been shame, where there's been a feeling of loss, he's in that place because in him there is no loss. In him is eternal life. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Jesus, you are here. Let your will be done in this service today. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth. We call forth heaven today in this service. We thank you, Father, that as we're preaching the word today, that healing is coming, that healing always comes. Praise God. And so we receive it today. We thank you for it. We thank you for everything you're doing in this service. We look to you. We put our eyes and our ears onto you and our hearts turn towards you. No distractions in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there's a word in season for every single person here, for every single person watching, just what you need. You came today. He's going to honor that you came today. We honor him. He honors us. So I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do today. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may greet one another this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Welcome to those of you online this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Lord. Well, if it's your first time, our website is VLFC, VLFC.church, and there you can find out more about us, all our past sermons, our audio, our video, and our sermon notes. And we are also on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, and like, and share. Praise God. Sundays, doors open at 9, and we have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10, so come early for fellowship and coffee. Praise God. Friday prayer this week, I want to let you know, Friday prayer is moved to Thursday. So this week, it's Thursday prayer, okay? Everyone say Thursday. Praise God. We're here from 9 to 10. We're going to be praying this Thursday. Friday, I want to make an announcement at our Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center, and there's another flyer over there. Friday, June 19th, we're going to have an open house. That's also where we have the baby bottle boomerang going from Mother's Day through Father's Day. And so this open house, we are opening up to the community so you can come see that we have our new ultrasound machine. We're going to be offering those services to the community. And we just want people to know more about us. You know, this is a small town, a rural area, and I'm surprised how often I go out in the community and people haven't heard of us. And I think that is so interesting because, you know, we're just 5,000 people, but we do serve 7 counties as well. And so we just want people to hear about us because we're promoting life and truth in the community. And this is a great opportunity. And so we invite you all to come join us on Friday. So therefore, we're having Thursday prayer here. And I'm sure we're going to pray over that as well. There's also a petition for those of you who are Keith County residents. I just want to, if you haven't signed this, this is to get on the November ballot, and it's to establish constitutional protections for sex separate athletics to ensure equal access to athletic opportunities for females. That's a mouthful. But the main thing is that no men in the women's locker room, no men in the women's sports. And that's why it's so important to vote. If we don't vote, if we don't get out and vote, we just let these things happen. And so you're going to hear it from us. Please vote. And if you haven't signed this, come see me afterwards and I can get your signature on there as well. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry and our worship team as well. And so if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class, please let us know. And we'd love to work with you on that as well. Wednesdays, we've been doing Jesus the Miracle Worker discipleship class, and that starts from at 6:30. Doors open at 6, typically on Wednesdays. But this coming Wednesday, June 17th, we have a very special Wednesday. We're celebrating Pastor Rodney's birthday. So come one, come all, 6 o'clock. We're grilling out hamburgers and hot dogs. There's a sign-up sheet over there for the sides. And
it's good Angus meat burgers.
Good Angus beef burgers and good Angus beef hot dogs. Praise the Lord. Well, that's worth coming if you are hungry. So, but we want to celebrate Pastor Rodney. And he did let me know this morning, you know, people bring, there's going to be a card basket and people bring gifts. And if there's a monetary gift to him, he asked for it to go to the building fund. And so he just asked that that's what his birthday gift would go to. So if you're writing a check, you can write it to BLFC Building Fund, or there's offering envelopes. And so that's what he asked for his birthday. So praise God. What a blessing. Aren't you thankful for our pastor? Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Praise God. That got me a little bit. Okay. So with that being said, the building project, right now we're in phase one of our building project. Excuse me for ducking down there. So phase one of our building project, and there's a QR code on the screen if you want to scan it and see more about it. But also, we have these posters here that we've made so everybody can take them home. They're over there. We have them on our refrigerator, one on our refrigerator. We have one in the office and in this office here, because you know how important it is to keep the vision before you. Whatever it is you're believing for in life, whatever it is God's spoken to you and the plan of God for your life, you put it on a vision board. We can make them. We can make them in the, that gives me an idea for Super Kids. I want to do this for the Super Kids. We've done it for our women's ministry, but to put the vision before us. And I was sharing on Wednesday night how, when we started putting this together, it was like coals to on a train that caused the train to go faster and faster and faster as we all put this vision on our refrigerator in a plain sight where we can see it and speak over it, speak the word of God over it. That faith is making things happen. It's God's faith. And also these frames, I wanted to mention, we've ordered some. They're $10 if you want the frame. Otherwise, the poster themselves are over there. You could just grab a poster, but be in agreement with us for the vision. And so we're believing for that property and building of our own with lots of room for growth. We have the fellowship halls, the prayer rooms, the children's rooms, the worship rooms, rooms for breakout, our sanctuary, but a church that we can call our own, that we can grow into. God is so faithful. I say this all the time. You know, we started in our basement. Now look where we are. We went to the hotel. Now we're here. And he's just going to keep promoting his message because he wants to see people healed. He wants to see people set free and whole. And for us to find out our calling in life. You know, we talked about this. There's people all around. They're just going day-to-day work, Monday through Friday, just going to work, going home, watching TV. There's so much more to life. There's a purpose and a plan that he has for each one of us individually that you can only accomplish, that he created you for. And that's our goal and purpose, is to find out what it is and walk that out. Praise God. And we're here to do this together.
Amen. Yes. And I just want to add to this. So we have here, you know, women's groups, men's groups, you know, different age appropriate children's groups. And so in these, I want you to see yourselves in these groups, but also even perhaps the ones who are helping to lead this group. Maybe you're the leader, maybe you're the assistant leader, something like that. But I just want to encourage you, see yourself in this vision. Praise God. Amen. There's room for you. So maybe you're watching online. You know, there's room for you in this vision. So again, pastors, we cannot be everywhere. We cannot do everything. We're not called to. You are called to. And so we want to help equip you. So maybe, you know what you say, I would really like to do this. I really have this on my heart. can, you know, I would like to lead a group of some kind. You know, maybe it's a prayer group. Come and talk to us, and we can talk to you about steps that we can take now to help prepare you for this place. Hallelujah. So we're going to see something here today in today's message about callings. Hallelujah. But so I just want to encourage you, see yourself in the vision. Hallelujah. Because this community has need of you. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's one thing to come here on Sundays and we're preaching and teaching, and on Wednesday nights, and there's discipleship that happens, but there's a lot deeper discipleship that can and happen in these groups. And so, again, I really want to get these going. So, again, we need more spaces for that. But even where we're at now, we don't have to wait. We know if we need to come here and meet on a Tuesday afternoon or, again, Friday prayer or different things, we can have multiple groups throughout the week, even where we're at now. So I just want to encourage you to let us know what's on your heart, what the Lord has placed in you, because the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. What God has called you to do, he has never changed his mind. And we're going to see more about that in today's message, but I'm going to hand it back to Pastor Paula.
Amen. That's right. And so, you know, even Pastor Rodney and I, you know, you find yourself in serving. If you don't know what the plan of God is for your life, get hooked up with the plan of God for the church. That's how we met. And so many, the other churches that I went to and served at before God called me to Texas. I served there. I was faithful to serve. All glory to God. I met friends. I met connections. And then it led me to Texas, which led me to Pastor Rodney, where I served there. And we served together. And that's how we got together. And so praise God, there's blessing in serving. Amen. So I could go on for a while. Can I have the service? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So we are in phase one of this right now. And so far for phase one, for the building project, we're believing for $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. And so far, $2,590 has come in. Praise the Lord for that. And that's $2,410 remaining. So we're over halfway there. Praise God. Phase one is ongoing for a little bit, but believe for it, release your faith with us and watch God do what only he can do in your own lives and your own projects. Praise God. And so there's an option when giving online, if you choose building fund, if you're given to building fund, and in the room, just write it on the envelope if you're given to the building fund. And so this morning, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read verse 6 through 13, but it's in the Passion Translation, so it's a little bit different. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13 in the Passion. And I just want to tell you this morning, his grace is sufficient. We can't do any of this without his grace. It's by his grace. He reminded me the other day, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There are several things that I'm personally, the Lord has going on, you know, with the church. And I talked about Pathways Pregnancy Center and, of course, our beautiful daughter. And I can't do all that in my own strength, right? And so we have to get with him and find out what he's telling us to do for the season that we're in. But it's all by his grace. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 13, it says, hilarious generosity. I thought hilarious generosity. It's very merry. We're very happy givers in here. Amen. It says a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace. Don't you receive it this morning?
Yeah.
Say, I receive his grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. Thank you, Lord. We receive that. Then, it says, first, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when you take your gifts to those in need, it causes many thanks to God. And don't we want to cause thanks to him? Don't we want to give glory to him? The priestly ministry you are providing through your offering not only supplies what is lacking for God's people, it inspires an outpouring of praises and thanksgiving to God himself. I just imagine us having a big celebration, even in our new building. Don't you know he's doing it? It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient. And so we're not asking you for you to do it in yourself. We're asking God to supply the seed to the sower, and he's doing it to get his message out. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you're given this morning, there's an offering envelope in the seat back in front of you. If you're given by cash or credit card, please fill out the information on that top part. And if you're given by credit card, please sign that area where it asks to sign. If you are giving by check, please write it to BLFC. And if you're given online, the information's on your screen. And let's say our offering confessions this morning. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, praise God, you may receive the offering.
Praise God, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord together with y'all today. Amen. Glory to God. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Miracles, 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 signs, wonders. Jesus said these will follow those who believe. He said over in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to everybody. Did he say that? No. He said all things are possible to him who believes. Are you a believer? Glory to God. So let's all say it together. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do everything the word says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Not in your might, not in your strength, not in your wisdom, not in your willpower, not in your anointing, in his anointing, in the anointed one, in the anointed one. And I do it by faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus said over in John 14, greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. That's a command. He said, you shall do it. Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. You shall do it because I go unto the Father. Greater works. Greater works. How are you going to possibly ever do that? Anointing. In Christ. In Christ. So again, I want to encourage you, if you weren't here on Wednesday, if you haven't seen the service, go back. Go back. There's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here to do a work. Hallelujah. So again, in that great commission, what we were looking at, the ministry of Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you go. Go in my name, go preach the gospel. That wasn't just to fivefold ministers. That is the mandate for every single believer. The moment you got born again, you stepped into his mission. You stepped into his calling. Jesus said, you're going to do this because I've got to go. Hallelujah. So again, I can't be there to preach this gospel as I once was, not in my flesh, but I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to do it through your body, through your voice. Hallelujah. So again, you go cast out the devil in my name. In my name, you go lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. And I love that in Mark 16, they went out preaching everywhere and the Lord was with them, confirming his word. The Lord was with them, confirming his word. Glory to God. All you need is faith in God. Just be obedient to do what he tells you to do. He'll be right there to back it every time. He will be there to back it. He's there to do what only he can do. I can't heal anybody in and of myself. I can't cast out a devil, but Christ in me, on the authority of his word, in his name, absolutely. That devil has to go. Glory to God. So I'm not resisting in my strength. I'm not resisting in my ability. I'm resisting in the name of Jesus. I'm resting in the victory that I already have in Christ. So again, the New Testament has roughly 180 references to who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. You'll see in him, by him, through him, in Christ. All of those are a picture, a snapshot telling you this is who you are. This is what you have. This is your new identity. And if you will agree with God, if you will agree with that identity, what is happening? You are literally forming Christ in you. The Bible calls this, and over in Ephesians 5, this is what we call the washing of the water of the word. It is simply displacing all that other trash that the world has trying to pin me with. Then, you know, the world wants to identify you as, you know, white, brown, black, your height, your weight, your eye color, all of these things that they try to, you know, put you in these little boxes, you know, all these different demographics. You know, and either you're too old, too young, too short, too this, too that, and they will find some way to disqualify you from something. This is all just a trick of the enemy. No, but in Christ, that's not the real you. You are not just this flesh and blood. That's just your earth suit. You are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you live in a physical body right now. At the new birth, Christ moved in. The old you died. We're going to get to today's message right quick, but Holy Spirit, thank you. Galatians 2:20, we just need to put our eyes on this. We're talking about the real you. Galatians 2:20 says, thank you, Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. Who's Paul talking about? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. You know, crucifixion is real permanent. No one just walks away from a crucifixion unless you're Jesus, right? You know, crucifixion, you die. And that's what Paul says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Other translations say, I have been co-crucified with Christ. Heaven has it recorded when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right here along with Paul, right here with every believer, you took the identity, the person of Christ. And heaven has it recorded that you were on that cross with Christ. You died. The old spirit man, that old sinful self, that old nasty thing, he dies the death of the cross. Rightfully so. Sin is judged on that cross, and that sinner that you were died on that cross that day. You went to hell 3 days with Christ. But most importantly, you were resurrected with Christ. And this is what Paul writes here. He says, "And it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me." The old you, that old nasty thing, dies the death of the cross, and it's now Christ, his resurrected life, who is alive in me. And he says, and the life I now live in this body, in this flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son. I live by faith in Christ. I'm not looking to my body to define me. I'm not looking to others around me to define me. I'm not looking to the doctors to limit me. I'm not looking to anything else right? To tell me what I can and can't do, you know, how much money I can or can't have, you know, what I can or can't accomplish. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to define God in me? The only person who is ever qualified to define you in Christ is God Himself. Don't look to anything else. Well, you have to deal with this terminal illness. We'll just have to manage this. I know you've got all these soul addictions and all these soul ties and all of this stuff, and we'll just learn to cope with this over the next 20 years through counseling every week. You can. You can. You can get on these prescriptions, you know, and keep piling them up, you know. You can go through all of these natural things. But you don't have to. You do not have to submit yourself to this world system. I live from a different system. I live in a different kingdom. I have a king. His name is Jesus. And he's here. He's the one who is defining me, and he's defined me through his word. Who you are, what you have, what you can do. And so now I live by faith in my bank account. I live by faith in my ability. I live by faith according to all of my messiness. I live by faith in him. Whatever's true about him is true about me. The word says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are you in this world. Not trying to be, not someday going to be. This is not a someday gospel. Someday you can get healed. Someday you can get saved. Someday you can get your needs met. Never. Never. It's an established reality. It is truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know. You will have revelation knowledge. You'll have faith in your heart. You'll come to know this truth. And when you know it, he says, this truth will set you free. I don't have to go through all of that. Hallelujah. So again, my personal testimony, I grew up in church. I got drugged to church as a child. I didn't really, wasn't too into it all that much. And as a teenager, you know, we kind of just checked out. And at 18, I didn't have to go to church no more. So I didn't go to church no more. I went the way of this world, and I was a sinner. I was really good at it. and I lived that life until 30 years old. And then I came literally to an end of myself. I was done with me. And I said, Lord, here am I. I believe you are there. Please come and take my life. Do something with it. And at a moment of time, I sensed his presence. He moved in. You know, he moved in. The manifested presence of God showed up in my room that day. And I've never been the same. You know, and from that moment forward, I purposed in my heart, Lord, whatever you want to do in and through my life, I'll do it. I had a career. I was making money and all of this stuff. I had all kinds of opportunity. I said, Lord, I don't care about none of that. All I want to know is, what do you want from me? What I'm yours to command. And he said, go work in the ministry. And I said, Lord, I'm not qualified. I wasn't. Again, I was looking to me. I'm looking at my flesh. Go work in the ministry? Who's going to hire me? So he told me where to go, where to apply. I did. And I got a nice little rejection letter a few weeks later in the mail. I said, there, Lord, I... And so another month or two goes by, and I'm still praying and seeking, Lord, what do we do? He tells me, go apply. Same job, same position. Okay, I did. But this time they called me in for an interview. And once I got in the interview, I started sharing my testimony, and that really blessed them, I guess, and they hired me. And then they helped train me. Praise God. And the Lord just kept promoting me over the years. You know, met my beautiful wife, and we got married, and we ended up going to Bible college, and then we came out here just letting the Lord just work in us and through us. But in myself, if I was to ever look at me in my flesh, I would tell you I was not qualified. I was not. But Christ in me, he is the qualifier. He is the qualifier. And again, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And here's the truth about it. Anything God ever calls you to do, no matter what it is, you are never qualified to do it. At least not the way he would have you do it. You're going to have to live by faith every step of the way to fulfill the highest and the best that he has for you to do, the way he has for you to do it. So without that, let's get into today's message, which is helping to set this up. But this is really about Peter. The title to today's message is Obedience That Unlocks the Impossible. Obedience That Unlocks the Impossible. Glory to God. It unlocked the impossible in my life. You know, when a lot of people found that I went into the ministry, they laughed. You know, what? Rodney? They're looking at the flesh. That flesh man died. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And again, I can imagine, you know, many today, you know, going back from high school and on through, if they knew I was pastoring today, you know, from where I came from, my goodness, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look here over in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, on one occasion, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is another name for Sea of Galilee, with the crowd pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. So again, Jesus is here to preach a message. He couldn't preach in the cities anymore. You know, so many people were coming in, the cities couldn't hold him. So he's having to go out, you know, into the countryside beside the cities. And so here he is, he's at the lake, he's pressing in, you know, so the fishermen have come in. You know, typically they fish at night, you know, when it's dark, you know, and so the boats are coming in. And so Jesus sees these boats, he says, you know what, let me step out in the boat. He pushes out away from the land a little bit so he can have this nice little amphitheater to preach to the people. So again, verse 3, Jesus got into the boat belonging to Simon and asked him to push out a little from the shore. And sitting down, he taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we have worked hard all night without catching anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Go away from me, Lord, he said, for I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Do not be afraid, Jesus said to Simon. From now on, you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed him. Glory to God. I love reading about this because when I see this, I see my own self in this as well. Jesus calls him, and again, Peter's not wrong. He says, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. And again, these two other boys, sons of thunder, they're called. Sons of thunder. These are rough fishermen. These are not cultured. These are not good church boys. These sons of thunder. Imagine how they earned that moniker. Just imagine. I can imagine the bar rooms, the brawls, the stuff that they must have got into to earn the name Sons of Thunder. Even among this crowd, they had that moniker. These guys were the brawlers of the brawlers, I'm sure. Glory to God. Again, looking at this, Peter does not meet Jesus at his best. He meets Jesus at his emptiness. He has empty nets, an empty hand, an empty heart. Jesus just goes back and gives him this word, try again. And the moment, this moment becomes the first step in a faith journey that literally will change the world. It'll change the world. When you obey Jesus's word, even when it makes no sense, the impossible for you now becomes possible. Again, it's not you. It's not you. It's the word of God that is doing the work. Today, we're going to see that faith obeys when it's even when we see it with Peter. This is about a faith that obeys when he's tired, faith that obeys even when it didn't work before, faith that obeys even when all logic, human reasoning disagrees, and faith that obeys just simply because Jesus said so. This goes all, and again, throughout all of these miracles, we're noticing the same common theme. This goes all the way back to Cana, the wedding feast at Galilee, which the Bible says was the very first miracle Jesus ever performed. And what was it? Turning water to wine. How did it happen? Mary comes in, lets him know about the situation. Jesus says, hey, my hour's not yet come. She doesn't even hear that. She turns to the servants and tells them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And she walks out the room. Jesus is standing there with the servants. So he says, all right, boys, go fill up, these water pots, 20 to 30 gallons. He says, go fill up the water in the pots. When you're done doing that, dip some out, take it to the master of the feast. Somewhere along the way, that water turned into the best wine. How did it happen? Jesus gave these boys a faith command. They obeyed that command, and it worked. What happened? Jesus heard from Father. He gave a word. They acted on it in faith, and it worked. In every single one of these miracles, we've noticed the same thing over and over and over and over, and it goes all the way back to the very beginning. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Just do it. So again, this is always imperative on two things. Number one, you have to hear a word from God. You have to. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please him. So again, if I'm going to please God, if I'm going to receive anything from God, I'm going to have to do it by faith, standing on the word that he gave me. Now we see here also, Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. It's not me, he said. It's the Father in me. He does the work. How's he doing it? Through the word. Holy Spirit gave Jesus a word. He showed Jesus what to do, what to say to this situation, how to minister to this person. He just simply gave it. They acted upon it, and it worked for them. Now, again, on this side of the cross, we have Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. I don't need to go hunt Jesus in the flesh. This is why Jesus said, it's more profitable for you that I leave and go to the Father. And they're like, no, Jesus. No, we love having you right here. And he said, no, when you need a word, you don't have to go hunt me down. You can hear from Father all day, every day. Anywhere on this planet, you can hear from God right now. Just as I've been hearing from God. And more than that, he will be on you, not just in you, to empower you to do this work. Glory to God. So again, hear from God and be obedient to what he says. If you'll just do those two things, this is exactly how Jesus models it over and over. And every time people would respond to it, it would work for them the same as it did for him. And it's just still the same today. God hasn't changed his method of operation. Hear a word, act on it in faith, it works. It's not you, it's Christ in you. Glory to God. So Jesus, he comes here. Again, these are fishermen. They're washing their nets. So Jesus just steps right over into their workplace. He literally steps into Peter's office, right? You know, and he's using his office space, his boat. So again, just a real quick history lesson here. This boat, Galilee's fishing industry, they use wooden boats. These boats were approximately 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.3 feet deep. You know, so again, they have found these and determined these are their dimensions. These boats were propelled by oars and or a single square sail. These boats typically would have a fishing crew of 4 to 5, but if we were just going to transport people, you could carry about 15, which you would later see with Jesus and his disciples, you know, 12 plus 13, you know, one. So they would go from one side of the lake to the other, which the lake, the Sea of Galilee, again, is 8 miles wide, about 15 miles long. But again, they used these boats to traverse here many times. So again, they had dual purpose, but primarily they were created for fishing. The nets, they had three different kinds of cast net, which is a smaller net that one man could carry over his shoulder, had weights around the edges, and you would take and you would cast it out. And as it sinks, these nets, you know, the weights come down on it, and then you can pull this string and you can close that net, and then you just bring in the bag of fish. They also had what was called a drag net or a seine. I've used these small ones, you know, just for catching, you know, live bait to go fishing with, but it's you have a long handle, one on each end, and then these nets can be up to 1,000 feet long. So again, Sea of Galilee was world famous for sardines. We saw that a few weeks ago. They had world famous sardines. They canned them. They shipped them all over the Roman Empire. This was a major, major industry, made a lot of money from it. So again, they had these big nets. So someone would stand on shore, you know, with this end of this net, the boat would go out, you know, in a big arc, come back to shore. Then you'd have 15, 20 men, because this is, I mean, this you take a lot of weight, you know, and they would drag that net into shore and again, capture all those fish that are in that net. Again, primarily they're catching sardines. Is what they're doing. But then there's also this third kind of net called a trammel net. And again, this is what Peter would have been using with his, when those boats that night. This trammel net is a compound wall-like net favored for night fishing. The net is made of three distinct layers of linen. It has two outer layers. So again, it has this thick outer layer on each side, and then you have a thin layer of linen, like a mesh, so that when I'm dragging this behind the boat. So again, we set the sail, we get the oars, we start moving. You got a big net out behind you, you know, and again, fish just, you know, they're caught into the net, and then the same thing, you want to drag it, bring it in. All right. So they're fishing in the night, because at night the fish, you know, they can't see the net as well, you know, versus in the daytime, they'll see the net. They'll just, you know, they're fast. They can outswim it, go around it, under it, something. So again, they're fishing at night primarily when they do this. So again, they're on the shore right now. You know, Peter and the boys, they're cleaning the nets, because if you don't clean these things on a regular basis, they're going to rot, you know, and these nets are expensive, right? So, again, Jesus comes in onto the boat, so he catches them, you know, after their long night. They're tired. They've been working and working. They've caught nothing for their efforts, you know. So Jesus steps into this place, and again, Peter says, "We worked hard all night." Again, this is, they're exhausted. That word "worked all night" is kapiaho. It means to labor to the point of weariness or depletion. Can you imagine working, toiling all night long? On top of it all, you've caught nothing. So you're tired, you're weary, you're disappointed. You know, let's just wash these nets, go home. I want to take a bath and go to bed. This is what this is their routine. They work nights. Jesus steps into this moment. He steps into this failure. He doesn't wait for any type of ideal condition. He steps into the moment when they have nothing left, and he gives them a word which creates a moment of decision. Am I going to act on his word and keep cleaning the nets and go home and sleep again? Or am I going to go out, take my nets back out that I've been cleaning, and now I'm ready to be done? Am I going to take these nets back out on the word of this preacher I just met and go out here and get them dirty again? Right? That's a major decision. That's a major decision. Now I'm going to be up all day too. And now I've got to, you know, all this is going through their mind, you know. So again, put out into the deep. So again, Jesus gives this instruction. And again, now thinking about the instruction, the timing. Daytime fishing does not work. Not with the net. They're going to see it. They're going to swim away. Don't you know? Technique, deep water. Fishing is done best in shallow waters. So again, especially in deep water, it's way too easy for that fish just to swim under the net and keep going. That's why I need to be in shallow water, so I have that net top to bottom, right? experience. Again, they grew up on this sea. Again, they're generational fishermen. They know better. Logic, they've already tried everything that they, the professionals, know to do. Are there professionals in your life telling you any of these things? It can't be done. It's impossible. We've consulted the best and the brightest that this is the only option, or there is no option. And again, am I now going to listen to this preacher tell me how to fish? What does he know? I know he means well. He means well. We taught. So again, how does Peter respond? We toil all night, Jesus. Again, he's honest. We've already tried. We've done everything that we know, and no one knows more than we do. We're tired. We're empty. I just want to go home, Jesus. I appreciate you. You know, I appreciate you. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you got to use my boat. No problem. It's all right. This is where many believers do stop, though. But Peter doesn't. Peter does not. He says, he looks at his response, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. That response honestly just amazes me. When you think about everything that's going on in the natural realm, but he does call him master and he does call him Lord. He must have heard something in the preaching that day while he's sitting over here cleaning these nets. He heard something. Because he calls him master and he calls him Lord, and yet we know he says, I am a sinful man. I'm not the boy that goes to meetings, right? He heard something. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Again, he's not a churchgoer. He doesn't go to meetings. Jesus literally invades his boat. What was Jesus preaching that caused him to have this response? Faith. Absolutely. He had to been teaching, because we know this. Jesus was teaching faith, faith, faith all the time. So again, Jesus did three things always in this order. Number one, teaching, then preaching, then healing. It never went in reverse order. It always came, I've got to teach the people about how the kingdom of God operates. Then I'm going to preach to exhort you to add corresponding action to it. And when you do, now we're in line for you to receive healing and miracles and breakthroughs. Jesus was teaching faith, which is the only way Peter could have made this statement. You know what? I've been hearing what you've been saying. And because you now have given a faith command, I'll do it. That's remarkable. I mean, just in hearing one good faith message, he responds with astounding faith. He really does. So again, Peter is pushing past all of his experience, his feelings, his logic, his exhaustion, and he just simply says, but because you say so, all of my natural wisdom, I'm going to lay it aside and I'm going to take you at your word. And it's going, and again, he's risking a lot. This is going to take up the rest of his day to make these nets dirty again, not just him, but those who work for him. He owns these boats. This is his business, right? These are his employees. But because you say so, I will. So again, faith is not the absence of opposition. Faith is obedience in spite of it. And anytime you're going to ever step out in faith, there will always be an opposition to it. The devil's not just going to let you go out here unchallenged day in and day out. You know, no, there is going to be opposition to faith. Hallelujah. Again, I put this picture in here just so you had a visual image of what these boats and stuff would have looked like. Amen. I love visuals. Praise God. Again, Luke 5:6, they do so. And as soon as they do, they catch so much fish. There is fish literally jumping into their nets, jumping into their boat. They're not swimming over and under or around the nets. They're just driving themselves into this net. So these nets begin to tear. And again, they start bringing fish into the boat, and then they get the second boat over there so that they start to sink. So looking here, the nets overflow. But notice here, Jesus does not give them natural solutions here. He doesn't give them a better technique. He doesn't give a better boat. He doesn't give a better net. He doesn't give a better time of the day. He gives them a better word. All you need is one word from God to change anything in your life. All you need is the wisdom of God. Glory to God. His miracle reveals his identity. Peter, he's heard the message. He's already responded in faith, Lord, Master, at your word, I'm going to do this. And then he recognizes this is an astounding miracle. This does not happen. This is impossible. And in the natural, this is completely impossible. We fished these same waters all night. We got nothing. And all logic, all wisdom says, no, this is, you can't do this. And they have never caught so many fish in all their life. And again, fish are just trying to get in the boat at his word. So again, he responds this way, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Why is this his reaction? Again, this miracle has revealed Jesus' authority, his holiness, and Peter recognizes this is no ordinary teacher. This is no ordinary rabbi. I've been to church before, but yeah, that's not for me. But there's something different. There's something different about that message I heard today, and there's definitely something different about that word you gave. Amen. He says, I am a sinful man. But notice here, this miracle becomes his calling. Jesus just uses the fish as an example. He says, from now on, you will catch men. Just a special note here, on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes down, comes upon them. Peter comes down from that upper room. I actually got to go to that upper room here in December, and it's a good sized room, and it's probably about enough room to hold 120 people in there. But again, it's an upper room. But when you go down, there's not this natural amphitheater, nor was there at that time. These are small, narrow little streets. It says Peter came down and preached the gospel, and 3,000 souls got saved that day. People were literally jumping into the boat. They are running to that message. And when you read the over in Acts 2, that's literally what happened. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that? They're drunk. No, they're not. Peter comes down and preaches. 3,000 souls get saved that day, and exponentially, day after day after day, the church is growing and growing and growing. And it's still that way today. Amen. He says, from now on, you will catch men, and even in like manner is what he's really saying. So again, Jesus is not imitated by Peter's, you know, old sinful past. Jesus speaks to Peter's destiny. God always or only will speak the end result, calling things that be not as though they were. You always seem to look at you in the mirror as the way you are or the way you were. You're looking to the external. God sees the spirit. He sees who you are, what you can do, and what I've called you to do, and he only will ever speak that about you. Again, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If he calls you healed, if he calls you whole, if he calls you blessed, if he calls you a pastor, if he calls you a businessman, whatever he's called you to do, in whatever capacity, he's always going to speak that over your life. He's not going to remind you of your past. He's not going to remind you of your sin. In fact, at the new birth, he's already gave you this promise over in Hebrews chapter 8, and he repeats it over in Hebrews as well. He says, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to get this right. Make sure I state this the right way. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful toward their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. He's not remembering your past. He's not remembering your sin. He only sees you in Christ. He only sees you through the blood of the cross as the righteousness of God. And all he sees, this is who you are, Rodney. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is what you're called to do. That is what he is continually speaking over your life. Peter hears this, and it marks him. It marks him. Now I want to, so again, this is Peter's commissioning into the ministry. So again, this miracle really wasn't about the fish. It was about faith and calling. Now, I want to look here at a second miracle. This is over in Matthew 17, 24 through 27. Again, we're going to look at three of these today. They all involve Peter. But it says, after they had arrived in Capernaum, so again, Jesus bought a house. When he goes into full-time ministry, Jesus buys a house in Capernaum, which is right on the Sea of Galilee. His house was right down the street from the temple where Jairus was the synagogue leader. Peter and his family also live here in Capernaum, again, right on the Sea of Galilee where he fishes for a living. After they had arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Does your teacher pay the 2 drachmas? "Yes," he answered. When Peter entered the house, again, Jesus' house, Jesus preempted him. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From who do the kings of the earth collect customs and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt." So again, we're talking about the temple tax. It's in the Levitical law. You know, every male once a year is required to pay 2 drachmas, which is basically 2 denarius, which is equal to 2 days' wages per male. Every male in Israel was required, adult male is required to pay that tax. So again, Jesus is you know, asking Peter this question, "Hey, you know, who's going to pay taxes, the sons or the foreigners?" Well, the foreigners. Anyway, so Jesus is drawing a parallel between, you know, the son, but that's not really the story. But so again, he says, from whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered, the sons are exempt. Jesus said to him, but so that we may not offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook. So I don't know if he even baited the hook. But he says, just go throw a hook. So again, not a net, just a hook. Take the first fish you catch. When you open its mouth, you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Hallelujah. So again, this is a moment of testing, not a crisis of lack. Again, Jesus had the money, 2 days' wages. Peter had the money, right? It wasn't about that. Again, this temple tax collectors, they approach Peter, not Jesus, and they question Peter about Jesus' commitment to the law. Again, the moment is not about money. It's about Peter learning how Jesus provides for his own. Now, Peter gives a quick answer, you know, but Jesus uses this moment to disciple him. But again, Jesus gives another very unusual instruction. Go to the sea. So again, he takes something that's common to you, but he'll use that to stretch you. You think you know something? Let me stretch you. Go to the sea, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, you will find a 4 drachma coin. So again, the instruction, again, he's a fisherman. This is illogical. It's supernatural. It's absolutely unexpected and unnecessary from a practical standpoint. Again, for the two of them, it's 4 days' wages. Jesus has a treasurer. He has 12 guys on his staff. He's paying their wages. 4 days' wages for one? That's nothing. They could have just went and gotten the bag. You know, Peter's got the money in his pocket probably. They could have just paid the tax. No. 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 I want to encourage us. Even though you have something, yeah, I can do this. I can just go over here. I can handle this. Check with him all the time. Lord, is this how you would have me do this? What would you have me do? Okay, pay the taxes. Yes, I understand we need to pay taxes. We need to, you know, we need to go minister to this person. We need to go handle this. And again, especially when you have some resources or you have some ability, you can just run out in your own strength under your own power and totally miss God. Totally missed God. There are things that was necessary for Peter to do this to help build his faith to the next level. And again, if he's just constantly running around in his own mind, his own strength, his own ability, he would have missed it. And he would not have been prepared for the next season and the next thing that he needed to accomplish. All right? always check with him. Always check with him. Again, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Always be checking with him. Always be listening to him, not just when you know you need him, but here the truth is you need him all the time. You need him to help you to develop your faith. Peter obeys immediately. No hesitation, no argument, no confusion, no, but Lord, he just simply goes. Before, he had excuses, but he obeyed eventually. This time, he just goes, which is a sign of maturity. It's a sign of growth. And we see here that faith is formed through repeated obedience. Repeatedly, he is obeying. Repeatedly, he's checking in. Amen. And faith is being formed and developed in Peter. Again, this miracle also confirms Jesus' provision. The coin is exactly the amount that they need. Jesus is teaching Peter in this moment, I will provide for what I call you to do. Hallelujah. Obedience releases supernatural supply. He's also saying here that you will never lack doing my work. Where he guides, he provides. Where he guides, he provides. Or, you know, you can go in your own steam and you're going to run out eventually, right? Again, this is not about the money. It's about the trust. It's about the faith that's being developed. There's a third catch, and I'm going to read through this passage quickly and we're going to close. This is in John 21:1-17, later by the Sea of Tiberias, which is just another name for Sea of Galilee. Jesus again revealed himself to the disciples. So this is after his resurrection. He made himself known in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, I am going fishing. We'll go with you, they said. So they went out, got into the boat, but caught nothing that night. So, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. So he called out to them, children, do you have any fish? No, they answered. He told them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it out there, and they were unable to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came ashore in the boat. They dragged in the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus told them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore, for it was full of fish, 153, or large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Come have breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus replied, feed my lambs. Jesus asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he answered, you know I love you. Jesus told him, shepherd my sheep. Jesus asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was deeply hurt that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me, Lord? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Amen. So looking at this in verse 6, he says, cast the net on the right side. So again, they went out, they went back to fishing. But Jesus gives them the same instruction. But here we see the same obedience. We see the same result. In this, Jesus is reminding Peter, your calling did not die with your failure. Again, just a few days before, maybe even a week before this, what happened? Peter denies Christ three times in one night. Peter, your calling did not die with your failure. Hallelujah. Why did Peter go fishing? This is the third time the Lord appeared to him. And yet Peter said, let's go fishing. Why did he say go fishing? He's feeling unworthy. He's feeling disqualified. Who am I? I denied Christ three times. I acted very poorly. I tried to cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus had to rescue me from that because they could have thrown me in prison and threw the key away if they wanted to. This was the servant. This was the servant to the high priest. Yeah, they will never see you again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, this miracle restores Peter. The miracle isn't, again, it's not about the fish. It's about healing a disciple's heart and restoring him. Again, Peter, you are a fisher of men. You are a fisher of men. He used this great catch of fish the first time to open Peter's eyes to, as you have caught these fish here today, you're going to catch fish, the men as fish into this kingdom. Again, the same thing is happening all over again. He's reminding Peter, my gifts and callings, they are without repentance. Who I've called you to be will never change. Amen. You missed it by a mile. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But I'm not speaking to your failure. I'm speaking to you, to your destiny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, the miracle is not about the fish. It's about healing and restoring this disciple back to his original calling. So we see here, faith obeys, again, as we close, faith obeys even when tired. Luke 5, we toil all night. Peter obeys when he has nothing left in the tank. Faith obeys even when it didn't work before. In Luke 5, he says, we caught nothing. We caught nothing. Again, past failure does not get the final say. Jesus does. He has what? A better word. Faith obeys when it makes no sense. Put into the deep. We don't catch fish in the deep, Jesus. Faith steps beyond logic, expertise, and experience. Faith obeys simply because Jesus said so. In Luke 5, Lord, because you say so, I will. That is the foundation of discipleship. Be teachable. Be teachable. Lord, I don't got this. You know better than I. Glory to God, because you say so. So again, number five, faith obeys in the practical. Everyday needs. Matthew 17, just go catch a fish. You don't have to reach in Hip National. You can go over here, catch your dinner, and have enough tax money for you and me. What an awesome way to pay your taxes. Jesus trains Peter to trust him not just in ministry, but in responsibility, provision, and real life pressure. Faith obeys immediately without argument. Peter doesn't say a word. He just go gets his line. He heads over to the sea. Praise God, and he brings in that fish. Glory to God. So again, we see here in the third miracle, in the first and third miracle, that faith turns emptiness into abundance. In Luke 5, they caught so many fish. The boats are sinking. The nets are breaking. Praise God. And even in John 21, they caught 153 large fish. These nets are overflowing. Again, obedience transforms lack into overflow. If you have a lack, all you need is a word from God. You're literally one word from God from flipping that thing around. And it don't have to take 10 years. It can take an afternoon. It can take a morning. But all you need is a word from God. Stop trying to go out and figure out, well, we can get this loan and we can do that and we can have that. Hear from him. That's what you have to do. Just hear from him. And if and until you've heard from him, you don't need to be doing anything else. Set everything else aside. Spend some time fasting and prayer before the Lord, getting clear to hear. And when I hear from him, act on what he says, it'll work. It'll work every time. That's just the method of operation. Doesn't matter who you are. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. He says, I will reward those who will diligently seek me. Amen. Faith turns shame into restoration. So again, three times the Lord calls him out. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, shepherd my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. You denied me three times. I'm going to restore you three times. I'm going to remind you of your calling three times. Amen. Your failures are not greater than his grace. I don't care how long you've missed it, how big you've missed it. Your past, your mistakes, your failures are not greater than the blood. It's not greater than his grace. Hallelujah. Again, faith turns shame into restoration. Peter is restored by the exact same miracle that called him. Jesus uses something that's familiar to remind him to heal what was broken in Peter. And again, we see here that faith grows through repeated obedience. The first time Peter obeys because even though he's tired, he's confused, he's broken, but he still obeys. And yet, as we see here, as we go on, Peter is not quick to point out all the circumstances. He's quick to obey. Amen. And to see that breakthrough. This is how Jesus forms disciples in all of us, one act of obedience at a time. Again, that's why it's so imperative we don't just run out here. Well, I can pay that tax money, no problem. Again, don't do anything apart from him. I'm led by the Spirit of God at all times and all things. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And it works for me like it works for him. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. I trust you got something out of that today. Thank you, Jesus. Faith in God, faith in his word. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just, in closing, I want to share this passage over in Romans chapter 4. This is the promise received through faith. This is Abraham, the father of faith, the Bible calls him. It says in Romans 4:13, it was not through the law or works that Abraham and his descendants received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law became heirs, faith would have been made void and the promise nullified, because the law produces wrath. For where there is no law, there is no sin. Therefore, the promise comes through faith, that it might be by grace. The promise comes through faith, that it might be by grace. What's the promise? Whatever you need. Whatever God has promised, whatever he has provided for you in Christ, you're going to receive it by faith, or through faith, so that it might be by his grace. You will never earn salvation. You'll never earn healing. You'll never earn anything. But you'll just simply go to God, find out what he has provided for you, find out what he's called you to do, and you're going to do it by faith, receiving that grace. Lord, I see this grace. I see this calling. I see this gifting. I see these things you have provided for me, and I just reach out and I just receive it. Hallelujah. Again, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply and meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is grace received through faith. He's already provided all the grace. All that you need to do is reach out in faith and say, I receive that. I receive my peace. I receive my healing. I receive my provision. I receive whatever it is that he has provided in his word. He says that the promise might be certain to all the descendants. That's you. Not only those who are of the law, but those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before God whom he believed and who raises the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls things that are not as though they are. Peter, I'm a sinful man. Peter, you're not a sinful man. You are a fisher of men. You are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty man of God. And even as you caught all these fish here today, you're going to catch men like this. And he did. He did. My goodness, did he ever. Glory to God. All of them did. All of them did. Glory to God. Well, the word tells us in Romans 10:13, he says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's all pray this together here in the room. Those of you online, you have to open your mouth. He said, believe it in your heart, confess it out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is your Son. And you sent him to the cross to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I confess you now as the resurrected King, my Lord, my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We believe according to the scripture that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. You have been made the righteousness of God. And he has a great, awesome, and wonderful plan for your life. And you're going to receive it day by day by faith. Glory to God. Well, we're going to close out online. And if there's anyone in the room that needs prayer, we'll be able to do that. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you, and in him, we are living in victory.